morning blows puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.
It's our first Abandoned Manitoba of 2025. Gordon Goldsborough joins me now. Hi, Gordon.
Good morning, Nadia.
Happy New Year.
And to you too.
Now, before we get to today's topic, last week you talked about historic buildings that were lost, but earlier this week we lost another one, didn't we?
Oh, yes. The Firth House on River Road north of Winnipeg was destroyed by fire on Thursday. It was constructed in 1861 for retired Hudson's Bay Company trader Thomas Firth. And by my reckoning, it's one of the 10 oldest stone buildings in the province. So it's significant architecturally, but it's also significant because of who lived there. One of the later residents after Mr. Firth was Edward Hay. And now that might not resonate with some of our listeners, but he was a member of Louis Riel's provisional government. And for the very first Legislative Assembly of Manitoba, he was an MLA. So really a noteworthy occupant. And it's just a shame that that building is now gone. The first of our New Year.
Yeah. So what are we talking about this week?
Well, the Manitoba Historical Society website has a collection of over 13,000 short biographies of noteworthy Manitobans of the past. But I had a bit of a change of heart. My original plan today was going to be to look back at the noteworthy people who passed away in 2024. But, you know, as I reflected on the plan, I realized we don't have nearly enough time to even list all of the noteworthy people who passed away in 2024, much less talk about the reasons that they deserved being identified as a memorable Manitoban. So, well, the full list of 96 names with links to those short biographies online can be seen on the MHS website. Go to mhs.ca/mm2024. And so we're done for today.
Goodbye.
No, we're not. You know, there is, however, a related subject that I actually just learned when I was preparing for today's conversation that I think our listeners will find interesting, but also, if they're like me, quite troubling.
What's that?
You know, I've sometimes asked, how do we find the people to put in the Memorable Manitobans collection? Well, and in some cases, we learn about them from people who contact us. You know, somebody emails me and said, oh, somebody noteworthy has just passed away. You should be, you know, adding them to Memorable Manitobans. And that's great. I love those kind of suggestions. But I think I can count on both hands the number of times that happens. It's not a lot. So otherwise, my major source for this are obituaries in newspapers. But this is where I encountered a minor mystery. You know, I was curious if there was any trends over time. And, you know, we've been doing this now for years, and we've got memorable Manitobans going back to the, you know, to the 1800s. I thought, is there any trend in how many there are each year? So I compiled data going back almost 50 years for each year, how many memorable Manitobans were there? And what I found was that initially there was somewhere in the range of 90 to 100 per year. But from 2001 to 2017, so a 17-year period, that total doubled to around 178. But then for the last 7 years, from 2017 to now, it went back to that 90 to 100 range. Something happened in that 17-year period to basically double the number of people that we were including. So that's what fascinated me. And ultimately, I did discover a reason, and I attribute it to two factors related to the Winnipeg Free Press.
Okay, what are those two factors?
Well, just an insight to my mind. I eagerly await the Saturday issue of the Free Press so I can scour the obituary section for potential memorable Manitobans. Of course, many people put the obituary in the Saturday paper because it has greater circulation. And for a 17-year period, from 2001 to 2017, I was aided in my weekly search by a special section of the paper that appeared, well, either the very last Saturday of December or the very first Saturday of January, where they would list the noteworthy people that they thought that had passed away in that year. And I should, in fact, give a shout out to journalist Kevin Rawlison at the Free Press. He has done yeoman service in looking through all sorts of sources to identify people that, frankly, wouldn't necessarily be found from a search of the obituary itself. And then, unfortunately, the powers that be at the paper decreed that in 2018, that was to be the last list. So unfortunately, that's what caused the number to drop way down again in 2018. It's because I don't have Kevin's help.
What was the second factor related to the Free Press?
Well, being a good journalist, Kevin Rollison doesn't rely solely on the newspaper obituaries for his annual list. And to be honest, the quality of obituaries has diminished dramatically over the past few decades. I know that because I've been reading them for years. So my suspicion is that as newspaper revenue from things like subscriptions and advertising declined, and they have. That's why a lot of the newspapers are folding. This, in fact, has been sort of counteracted by the increase in the price of an obituary. Well, today, an obituary in the Free Press costs a minimum of $248. I didn't know that. And that depends on its length. And so it's so much per inch. And so the longer the obituary, the more expensive it gets. And if you add a photo, well, if you add a color photo, for example, that's another $400. It could easily cost, if you have a long, detailed obituary, over $1,000. So if you have a grieving, cash-strapped family, well, they might be inclined to publish no obituary at all. And contrary to popular belief, it is not a legal requirement to publish an obituary. And so some people don't. Well, the result then is they either make a short obituary so that they can keep the cost manageable, or they don't publish anyone at all. And the result is people like me that depend on obituaries to find these people, well, we end up being shortchanged. And so there's all kinds of examples where somebody who I knew was noteworthy, I look at the obituary and go, this doesn't do them justice at all. They might be a memorable Manitoban, but I wouldn't know it from reading their obituary.
What about obituaries on funeral home websites? Can they be longer and perhaps more detailed?
Yes. And when I encounter a short obituary for somebody I suspect for one reason or another is a candidate memorable Manitoban, my first place to check is the funeral home's website. And frequently there is a much lengthier obituary there. But I worry that some funeral directors may be advising families to put an obituary solely on their website to avoid that costly one in the newspaper. And this is guaranteed to reduce significantly the number of people who will see the obituary. You know, who among us trolls dozens of funeral home websites looking for people we know? I don't even do that. I don't have the time for that. So who else would?
You're devoted, but you have your boundaries.
I do have my limits, yes.
What about if a family were to put a short obituary in the newspaper that refers people to a longer one online?
No. There is a new policy by the Free Press as of 2023 that is specifically prohibits the inclusion in an obituary of any text that explicitly directs readers to external sources. You can't say something like, see the full obituary on such and such's website. Now, I understand completely the motive for the change because, you know, such a redirection would basically then reduce all of the newspaper obituaries to just that little redirection notice. Nobody would put any detail there because then they'd save a bunch of money. And of course, newspapers aren't charities. And we are losing them at a worrying pace. And so I don't want to see anything that's going to deplete them of revenue that's going to contribute ultimately to their demise. I mean, keep in mind that just last month, we lost the paper in Thompson. They're disappearing. And I think part of the reason is they're losing important sources of revenue. So I don't want to do anything that jeopardizes that.
So what's the solution?
Well, people who are writing an obituary for a friend or a loved one should remember that newspapers are still the single best place for them to be. And they should continue producing obituaries that are not just a bare minimum of information. You know, the point of an obituary, it seems to me, is to celebrate the life of a person. You know, we do them a disservice when we publish a brief obituary merely to save money. It doesn't do justice to a life well lived.
So in the meantime, what can listeners do to suggest additions to the Memorable Manitobans collection?
Well, we're always open to recommendations, as I said, but we don't typically get a lot of them. And when we know that there's certain people that are underrepresented by obituaries, women, Indigenous people, people of color, they aren't well represented in Memorable Manitobans. And I recognize that and I despair over that, but not sure what we can really do if people don't suggest when they know somebody. However, I do suggest that before submitting a recommendation, please look at the criteria that we provide on the Manitoba Historical Society website. We insist, well, one of the criteria is that they must be deceased, and they should have been active at, well, maybe the municipal level or the provincial or national or even the international level. In other words, they're not just significant to you, but to a broader community of people. And keep in mind, memorable doesn't necessarily mean good. You know, there's some real scoundrels that are in memorable Manitobans. It's all about memorable, not necessarily, you know, praiseworthy. You know, and so I welcome all suggestions that are sent to me. You can contact me by email at Gordon, G-O-R-D-O-N, at mhs.mb.ca. And before we sign off today, I have one more reminder for our listeners.
Ooh, what's that?
Well, each year, the Lieutenant Governor of Manitoba recognizes up to five people who've made major contributions in promoting the history and heritage of their community, or of Manitoba as a whole. The MHS helps Her Honor in evaluating all nominations, which this year are due by the 28th of February. So if you know somebody in your community who deserves an award for all the good work they're doing in promoting awareness of our history and heritage, well, consider nominating them. You can find information about the nomination process and a form for the nomination on the MHS website.
And then I look forward to hearing about them on a future Abandoned Manitoba segment.
You will indeed.
Excellent. Thanks, yeah. Gordon. What's up for next week?
Well, I'm going to share an idea that's been rolling around in my head for the past month or so to promote the preservation of Manitobans' photographic history. But before we sign off, in the meantime, remember, check out the Memorable Manitobans of 2024 at mhs.ca/mm2024.
Thanks, Gordon.
Bye-bye for now.
No matter where I go, every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba. Many moons.